Today, we'll talk about my recent trip to Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 91 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 91. I am fresh off my trip, my week-long trip with my daughter, where we spent a couple of days at Disney World, and then we went to Mexico for 5 days. At the end of every college year, I let her choose a destination, and she loves beaches. So last year, she chose Puerto Rico. And this year she chose Mexico. And then I tack on a couple of days at Disney World for a couple of reasons. One is just because I need to travel to Disney World every couple of months to try new things and to gather more information. And two, just to keep her connected to what I'm doing, because she can't go to Disney World at other times because she works and she has classes. And so it's just kind of a way to keep her connected to what I've got going on. And then we spend most of the week at doing whatever she wants to do. And that usually includes a beach because she happens to love beaches. So we did 2 days at Disney World first, and I'll talk about that in detail today because we did lots of new things that I want to tell you about. And then we went to Mexico and spent 5 days at an all-inclusive resort in Puerto Morelos, just about 20 to 30 minutes outside of Cancun. And I was so impressed by this resort that, first of all, I talked a lot about it on Instagram and Facebook, including a video review that I did that if you're considering a trip to Mexico, please watch my video review because it might help you decide if it's a good place for you. But secondly, our whole family is considering a trip there next year because I think all of us would probably really like it. It's just for the amount of money that we paid and the service we got and the quality of the food and the drinks and everything, I've just never seen anything like it. And I've certainly done, you know, a fair share of my own traveling. So for me to say that is really saying something about this resort. They even surprised me one night with Mickey-shaped cookies because I had checked in there from my Facebook page and Instagram. Whenever I'm at a place, I just like to tag wherever I'm at so that you can see it and then you can click on it to go find out more information. And they happen to be really in tune with what their guests are doing, I guess. And so they saw me tag it and then they realized that I ran a Disney World website. And so room service brought Mickey-shaped cookies that night. And that was really fun. But I will link to my full review in the show notes. So if you're considering Mexico, I would definitely at least include this one on your list as a possibility because I can just wholeheartedly recommend it as a great all-inclusive. So before I dive into what we did in our 2 days at Disney World, I just want to do my normal reminders that I would really love it if you followed me on social media. I often feel like I'm just on this sort of digital stage here, you know, sitting at my microphone and you're listening to me, but I want to connect with you outside of here. And I'm on most forms of social media at WDW Prep School. And that now includes Snapchat, which I am having a lot of fun with, although I'm only posting as I have relevant things to post. And so when I'm at Disney World, then, you know, obviously that's lots of things in the parks and maybe some behind the scenes stuff as I work at home as well. But you can find me at WW Prep School on Snapchat if you happen to be a Snapchat user. So let's dive into the things that we did on our last trip. I used to write trip reports after my Disney World trips because a lot of people love reading trip reports. And they used to be useful and educational because you could sort of see how I put things together, how I put a trip plan together, how things worked out. And now I don't write trip reports anymore because I feel like they are not helpful because they're more like scavenger hunts. I just have a list of things for every Disney World trip that I hope to accomplish. And I'm just there to sort of get more information, experience new things, and I don't find it helpful. But I do want to go through the list of things I did just to sort of give you my thoughts on it because I did do lots of new things that I learned a lot about. So the first thing was that we stayed at Old Key West. And Old Key West is a Disney Vacation Club resort, which is Disney's version of a timeshare program. So most people that are there own points that they use to stay at Old Key West. However, as a non-DVC person, which describes me as well, and probably most of you, You can stay there by renting points or by booking directly through Disney. I could have done either one for this trip. Key West often has availability even on short notice, whereas other resorts you have to book 11 months in advance. But I just happened to have a good deal. I think it must have been an annual pass holder discount or something like that, that I booked through Disney. So I think I paid about $250 to $260 per night. And my goal was to book a studio. That's the room that I did book. And at Old Key West, studios include two queen beds, whereas at other Disney Vacation Club resorts, that usually is a bed and a fold-out couch. So I thought it'd be nice for us to have two queen beds. However, once we arrived, we were upgraded to a one-bedroom villa. And as soon as we walked in, my daughter said, okay, this is already my favorite place I've ever stayed at Disney World. The one-bedroom villas, and there are, you know, bigger villas as well, but they're more like apartments or homes because they have full kitchens, they have living rooms, inside eating areas, an outside table and chairs out on the balcony. They have full washer and dryers and bathrooms with jetted tubs. I mean, they really do feel like home. It's so much different than a hotel room where everyone's in basically the same space. And so she was immediately brainstorming, hey, when we come back with a big group, then this would be a great place to stay because we could cook some meals here and people would have more room to spread out and all this kind of stuff. Plus, it's affordable. I mean, at $250 a night, that is, you know, less than half of what it might cost to stay somewhere like the Polynesian or the Beach Club, which, you know, we love those locations, but it's just a much easier budget. And so maybe it would allow people with, you know, bigger families to stay there on a smaller budget. Or it would allow people to stay for a longer period of time. You know, if you can make your hotel dollars stretch over, you know, a longer span, then you might get more of a trip out of it. So it was really great. My goal for hotels, Disney resorts, is to have stayed at all of them by next year, I hope. I could get through the list a lot more quickly if I did a different one every day of my trips, but my goal really is to experience the hotel. And so I do take a lot of time to walk around the hotels, eat on site, use transportation in different ways. And, you know, I want to see it in different situations. And so although we only had 48 hours, we did carve out hours of time to experience everything on site that we could. And so I do feel like we got a really complete view. So not only did we like the room and the sort of bang for the buck to have such a nice space for not a lot of money, we really love the on-site restaurant, which is Olivia's. We were there a couple of times. We also had a quick breakfast at the quick service window. We bought stuff in the gift shop. We did use transportation in multiple ways. Like we used multiple bus stops on site. And we did walk by the pools, but we didn't have time to swim. But the pools, you know, look fun. There is a boat that can take you to Downtown Disney. So I do think that it's a great option. It really wasn't on my radar before this trip. And now it's at the top of the list of places that I think our family would definitely like to stay on a future trip. If my daughter has her way, we would definitely stay there next time we go. So anyway, Old Key West, you know, it's probably one of the most underrated places at Disney World, but you might want to consider it for your trip. Okay, so that was one new thing that we experienced in our 2 days. Another thing that we did was we ate at Rebel Hangar, which is at Hollywood Studios during Star Wars weekends. And this is a new option this year. It's kind of a pop-up dining, you know, option. It is located in the back part of Backlot Express, where they just kind of sectioned off a portion of it just for this. Some seating's inside, some seating's outside. We were seated outside. And it's adjacent to where the Jedi training takes place. So, you know, you have the Jedi training sort of provides its own ambiance there because it's right next to you. There are characters at Rebel Hangar, which I had not seen mentioned before we went there. I didn't think there would be characters, but there were. And they were interesting, unique options that I cannot meet anywhere else, I don't think, at Hollywood Studios. The food options were interesting and not too high priced at all, especially for something that's is a Star Wars character meal. But the alcoholic drinks, which we did not order, were more than the food in some cases. So they are definitely making some money on those. We thought the food was just okay. And given that this place seems to sort of have been thrown together last minute, there wasn't a tremendous amount of ambiance. But I do think that Star Wars fans would really enjoy the unique characters. And if the weather's nice, it's really a nice place to sit outside and eat. And so we ultimately gave it about a 6 out of 10. I will link to my review. I posted it in a Facebook message of Rebel Hangar, because I also took pictures of the menus and our food, and I sort of went into a bit more detail about it. So if you're interested in it, you can definitely read and see the pictures that I posted. If you want to eat there, it also can be very difficult to get a reservation because everything Star Wars related is a hot item. I do use WDW Table Finder to alert me whenever things open up, and I've never not been able to get what I wanted. So if this is something you're interested in, people cancel all the time. And so I might just suggest that you set up an alert so that you can be sent an email or a text message, and then you can go book it as soon as possible. So that's another thing that we did that was new. We also went and saw the preview for Tomorrowland. And now that movie is actually out in theaters, and I intended to see it this weekend, and we did not get a chance to do that. So that seeing the preview was fun when we did it because the movie wasn't in the theaters yet, and we really enjoyed the preview. I understand that the movie is getting mixed reviews, and so I can't wait to see it myself and see what I think about it. But it was fun to see the preview. Inside Out, which is coming out in June, that preview begins next weekend at that same place, which is where Captain EO used to be shown at Epcot. And so if you happen to be going to Epcot soon, you can go view the Inside Out preview there. A lot of people have been wondering if Captain EO is coming back. I spoke to two different cast members who gave me completely different answers on this topic. One said, yes, Captain EO is coming back after the Inside Out preview is finished showing there. The other one said, not only is it not coming back, but they've already taken the film away. Everything's been removed. There's no chance of it coming back. And I actually tend to believe that version. I think the first person that I spoke to was likely giving me the Disney line that they were told to say. I don't think Captain EO is coming back. It was supposed to just be temporary after Michael Jackson's death, and it's been back for years. So I don't know what they will be doing in that space if Captain EO goes away. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned because Interventions West is gone. Basically, most of the things there have gone away. Maelstrom went away while they work on the new Frozen ride in the Norway section. So I feel like, you know, it's starting to go the way of Hollywood Studios, where things are disappearing and there's not as many things to do. So as much as I don't really like Captain EO, at least it was something to do and many people enjoyed it. So I hope that if they do take it away, that they will announce, you know, what new offerings they have coming into Epcot. So we'll see what happens there, but I don't know for sure what the fate of Captain EO is. All right, another thing that we did this week was we ate at the new Boathouse restaurant, which is in Downtown Disney / Disney Springs. Now, this restaurant just opened up, I think, 1 or 2 weeks ago. And it is nautical themed, and it's right on the water in Downtown Disney, in the section that used to be called Pleasure Island. So it's kind of in the middle of Downtown Disney. And when we went in, we were immediately just struck with how nice it looks. I mean, they just really did a good job with the interiors. The ambiance is great. And we ordered our food, which we both really enjoyed. My daughter had salmon that was on a cedar plank. And then I believe I had fish tacos. And we sat near a window. Just a warning, in the evening, there aren't blinds covering the windows. So as the sun sets, it kind of blares in your eyes. For some reason, there is not a way to protect you from that. It was quite bright. But the staff is definitely in learning mode as of right now. So for instance, I was talking to our waitress about booking it. You know, is it going to be just open table through the dining reservation system for Disney or both? And she actually didn't have any previous experience with either system. And so she kept having to go get clarification. But the way that I understand it is that the restaurant will be available through both Open Table and the Disney dining reservation system. And if you're on the Disney dining plan, it's 2 table service credits, which makes it a signature meal. And this is a restaurant I need to add to my Disney dining credit post so that you'll know if it's a good value compared to other restaurants. But I can tell you that the food is delicious. The ambiance is great. We really enjoyed it. It is going to be similar to Rainforest Cafe and T-Rex Cafe in that they only release a certain portion of their seats to the Disney dining system. So if you find yourself unable to get reservations through the Disney dining system, then just hop on over to Open Table and your chances are better there. They should both have availability 180 days in advance. Now, here's the problem with the Boathouse, and it's not the Boathouse's fault. It's just the construction in downtown Disney. It's such a mess. And so we took a bus to get down there, and the only place you can get off the bus is at Marketplace. And so you have to walk to everything else because, they used to have multiple bus stops. And so you would just pick the bus stop that was closest to your destination. And since there's only Marketplace, then you have to often walk to the other end to get to where you're going. So there's a pedestrian bridge in Marketplace. And so that helped. We walked across the pedestrian bridge and that took us down, towards the Boathouse, and we went there. And then when we left, we wanted to catch an Uber to get to our next destination. And that was just a mess. We had to meet them in the parking garage, and it was confusing trying to figure out where to go and exactly where the pickup spot was and to communicate with the Uber driver about where to go. And so I just thought, I don't really want to come back here until this place is more complete. So, hopefully I can go back when I'm there for a long time in November 2015. But right now I just would have no desire to go there. It's just kind of a mess. But the Boathouse itself was a delight, and I think it's a good addition to Downtown Disney. What else did we do new on this trip? We had breakfast at Be Our Guest, and this is a place that I've heard lots about from other people, including from my assistant, Heather, who was there in March when it opened, and she went and had breakfast there, and from Cheryl, the travel agent I work with, and I've read reviews online, and pretty much what everybody says and what I'm going to say is that the portions are quite generous for different entrees, and they taste good, but they also do bring you a platter of pastries, and it's just sort of hard to finish it all, especially if what you're ordering is pastry-like, then it just feels like a whole lot of pastries. And so we had a gallon-sized Ziploc bag that was in our backpack, so we took the pastries with us and actually had them for breakfast the next day in our room. But the entrees themselves were good. You get a drink with it, and so entree, pastries, drink. And I highly recommend pre-ordering. You can pre-order up to 30 days ahead of time for breakfast or lunch. And when you do that, you get to bypass the ordering line, and you get to basically go almost directly into the dining room with a quick stop by the cast member who wants to find out how you want to pay for your meal. But the ordering line itself can take, several minutes because the people in front of you can take a while to make decisions. And so I just recommend pre-ordering if you can. That has saved us some time at both lunch and breakfast, where I've used pre-ordering in the past. And it's just on your reservation page in My Disney Experience. There'll be a link that says pre-order. And if after you've pre-ordered, it still says pre-order, then that's just a glitch in the My Disney Experience system and they need to fix it. But don't worry, it should have submitted and been fine. But anyway, overall, good experience. We had a reservation at 8:45, which was before the park opened at 9. And so it was a really, good way to get in the park before it opened. I took a picture of my daughter in front of the castle, without all the people around, which was nice. And so it's the least expensive way to get in the park before it opens, assuming that it does not open at 8. A lot of times Magic Kingdom does change its opening hours to 8, and then you will find yourself eating while other people are touring. It is the best value of a quick service credit on the Disney dining plan. Basically, if a quick service restaurant, a quick service meal costs $15 or more, that would be a good value for a quick service dining credit. And at $20 for every entree on the menu, that makes it a good deal. And I think it's the best quick service value on the Disney dining plan. So I'm a big fan of breakfast, and it's the cheapest way to get in the park before it opens. So I'm all for it, and we had a good experience. Just know that there are a whole lot of pastries and you might not be able to eat everything. Another thing that we did was we visited Trader Sam's. Trader Sam's is a new bar that is at the Polynesian, and there's an inside portion and outside portion. There was already a Trader Sam's, there has been, at Disneyland, and there one of their hotels has it. It's the same situation there. Inside portion, outside portion. The inside portion is more, you know, loud in party atmosphere, and there's a lot going on, lots of decorations to look at. But it's fairly small and it can take a while to get a seat. So if you go outside, then you can often get seated right away, which is what I did both at Disneyland and last weekend at Disney World, because in both cases, I was with other people that I wanted to talk to. I find the one at Disneyland to be far more charming, which I could say about a lot of things at Disneyland. Their version is usually more charming than the ones at Disney World. Disney World, it just felt like there was a patio at the Polynesian that had tables and chairs set around and you sat down. Like, I definitely didn't get the feel of Trader Sam's. I just felt like I was sitting outside the Polynesian. No particular personality to it or anything like that. But, you know, it's a great option. I'm all about having lots of, you know, interesting places to have a drink at Disney World. One thing that I wanted to mention is that while we were there, my daughter and I got eaten alive by mosquitoes. And that is relevant because in the 10 years we've been going to Disney World, that's never really been an issue. And it was such an issue on this trip that we were still feeling the effect of the bugs 5 days later. I mean, we would wake up in the middle of the night just wanting to scratch our legs off. We were covering them in anti-itch cream. We were soaking our legs in the tub. We were doing so many different things because there were so many, but I mean, dozens on each of us. And we got them at Trader Sam's. And so I don't know if Disney has changed their mosquito treatment options or what the deal is, but I will definitely be taking bug spray on future trips. I used to take it all the time, but never really felt like I needed it. So I'm just going to make sure that I pack it for a future trip because that was so uncomfortable. I haven't had that many bug bites in ages. And I'm just, it's unfortunate that they appear to be a problem at Disney when they haven't been for so long. Let's see what else. I did use Snapchat a lot during my trip, which I think I mentioned earlier. And if you're a Snapchat user, which I realize is a fraction of the people that are listening to this, but they do have the geolocation stickers. So you can get stickers that are specific to like the Orlando. First of all, when you land at the airport, you'll get an Orlando one. You can get them for each park, you know, Epcot, Magic Kingdom, etc. And then there are ones specific to certain sections of the park. Like there's a new Fantasyland one when you're in the Fantasyland section of Magic Kingdom. And then finally, there are ride specific Snapchat stickers. So you have like Space Mountain and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and that kind of stuff. If you want to see them, you can actually follow the Disney World Snapchat account. And so a lot of times they have the stickers on their Snapchat stories. And so you can follow along there. I collected a few throughout our trip and had a lot of fun with it. I will be Snapchatting randomly as things pop up, but obviously much more heavily during trips. And our whole family is going to Disneyland next week. And so I will be Snapchatting throughout our Disneyland trip. One thing I didn't get to test, and this is the only thing on my list I didn't get to do, was the Express Order app, which I talked about in previous podcasts because it's something Disney's testing. You know, I think the test is still going on. They said it was going through mid-May and they keep extending it. But it is the idea is that you can pre-order food or order food at Hollywood Studios from an app called Express Order. And so my goal was to sit at Fantasmic and while I was waiting for it to start, order a Mickey pretzel and a beer or something like that. And 30 minutes before Fantasmic, I opened my app to order it and it said, we have stopped accepting orders. So I guess my tip is if you want to try it, it needs to be at least 30 minutes or more than 30 minutes ahead of time. I had no idea they would cut it off quite so quickly, considering I was actually there 50 minutes ahead of time and hadn't even attempted it that early. So I didn't get to test it, but I do hope that I get to in the future. And I also hope that they extend those options to go beyond Hollywood Studios, because I think that would be really fun to be able to order something without leaving your seat that you have secured before a show begins. So I think that completes the list of things that I tried on this trip. That was a lot to fit into 48 hours, but we did it. And so by the time we got to Mexico, we were just ready to lay down and go to sleep. And I will include information about the resort we stayed at in Mexico in the show notes because we loved it so much. So be sure to check out my review if you're considering Mexico as a destination. We are already talking about going back next year. with our whole family because I just loved it so much. I am not going to talk about news today because I've just gotten back and I need to still get caught up on some things I missed. Heather was holding down the fort while I was gone and making sure she responded to almost all my emails. And I need to spend this week getting caught up on some things I missed while I was away, including news. So I'll have that on the next episode. I do have a quick tip of the day, though, before we wrap it up. My quick tip of the day is that Disney World tells you that your dining reservations have to be canceled 24 hours beforehand, but the reality is that you can cancel them by midnight the night before and still be okay for most dining reservations. If you have a reservation, most dining reservations can be canceled through the app or the website, by the way. If you have a reservation that has to be canceled by phone, then you need to call before 11 p.m. the night before Eastern time, because that's when the phone shut down. And one example of that is Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, because that one you have to make by phone. You also have to cancel it by phone. And so I recommend calling by 10:30 p.m. the night before, just so you can get through and cancel it before the phones close at 11. I did recently create a post on the site that is all about how and when to book reservations at Disney, all kinds of reservations, but it also includes deposit requirements and cancellation rules. And so this is one of many things that's listed there. And so you probably want to read that, particularly when it comes to things that require prepayment. I have a list of things that require prepayment, such as Cinderella's Royal Table. And there's all kinds of like recreation options and that kind of stuff. So I'll link to that in the show notes so that if you are trying to figure out how and when to make reservations, you can use this information as a reference. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the links and show notes that I've mentioned, you can visit wwprepschool.com/episode91. That is the number 91. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.